Welcome back to the Final Shot Podcast. Today, the show is brought to you by The Wellness Company. So go over to twc.health/final shot. Don't forget to put in the final shot because you will save some money on your purchase. And the product that I'm really pushing from The Wellness Company is called Spike Support. Spike Support really helps you eliminate the spike protein from your system so that you don't get those nasty, dirty blood clots that everybody's talking about. It might eliminate some myocarditis and may extend your life expectancy depending on how many shots you've taken. So go over there again to twc.health/final shot. Check out everything they got. They got med kits, all kinds of stuff on there. Check it out. It's the best stuff on the market you can buy right now. And remember, use the promo code Final Shot. So today, guys, we're going to take a break from talking with the doctors from The Wellness Company, and we're going to bring on one of my buddies. We've had him on the show before. He was large and in charge at the trucker convoy. Ladies and gentlemen, Colin, Big Bear Ross. How's it going, brother?
Going absolutely amazing. Good to see you again. It's been a while. We've been talking about doing this for some time, and I'm glad we're doing it.
Yeah, well, we actually got to meet in person. You stopped by my work when you took a tour through Swift Current. So we actually met in person. We've had a lot of phone conversations where we've talked in-depthly about what's going on in our country, where we think the country should go, what we can do as the people that live in this country to try to fix the problem and come up with some solutions. Realistically, right now we're stuck under a communist tyrannical government, and we need to evacuate from that situation as quickly as possible through the smartest way possible. And we need some more people to jump on the bandwagon here so that we can get the ball rolling.
Absolutely. And I have not stopped, you know, since we first had our last interview. You know, I might look like I've slowed down a little bit, but it's just to take a little rest. But like, the brain never stops. You know, it's like seeing a car accident every day for the rest of your life. You know, you got to watch it as it's going by, and you know what I mean? And this is the reality of Canada, the world. We're in one big car accident, you know, and it's a shit show out there. And like, I'm on the forefront in British Columbia right now. I'm from Alberta. So just let's get that straight. I'm an Alberta boy, born and raised in the oil patch, you know, grew up in Southern Alberta, but I've been spearheading a lot of the issues in British Columbia. And one of them is old growth forest. And this has very much taken my interest for a few different reasons. One is uniting the country. The left is really lobbying towards old growth forest. The right is actually lobbying against it, you know, because of the right wants more of a money making now. You know, it's all about making the dollar now. And so this is something I find that we all have vested interest in, is saving Mother Nature. Like, they're literally tearing down the last 1% of 2,000-year-old trees, biodiversity, old-growth forest. I've been speaking with some scientists in British Columbia. We just had one on, an interview. You know, I'd be happy to get her on with you as well. You know, to really dive deep into what's going on. The People's Republic of China has its hands deep in British Columbia. The World Economic Forum has its hands deep. You got a question for me, Tanner?
No, you keep going. I'm just breathing.
Okay, gotcha. as we get older, you know, you got to breathe, you know, breath work.
Yeah.
I shared a video the other day about a company called Brax, okay, or Drax, sorry, D-R-A-X. And this is a company from the United Kingdom, and it very much caught my interest. I had a scientist message me directly and said, you know, Big Bear, here's your opportunity with some facts. We got an article here. I can drop it in the comments below here on your Rumble page if you want after. And it's this company called Drax. And so they're from the United Kingdom, and they're coming into Canada and they're mowing down ancient old growth forests. We're talking 2,000-year-old trees coming in and just clear cut logging, and they're putting them into pellets. And then they're sending them to the United Kingdom to burn as green energy. So, you know, like, if you can only catch the hypocrisy in that. And we've been seeing fires burn rampant in British Columbia the last few years. Like, it blots out the sun every summer. And this is because, you know, when you get 2,000-year-old forests falling on top of each other, you create a biodiversity like no other. Mother Nature is beautiful to the core. And, you know, you got 2,000 years of biodiversity falling on top of each other, lichens, mosses growing on top of each other. So it's created like a water, the cleanest water web in the world. And there's only 1% left. There's literally hippies right now tying themselves to trees, trying to save the planet, you know, and I commemorate them. And I've been looking into it more. And it's just like, these people are speaking truth, you know, and they're actually told to be our enemy. You know, whether you're left or right, I'm just, you know, I'm just done with all that bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, it's right. You know, it's like, I'm just going to be on the right side of history, speaking truth to human beings. And that's it.
I don't disagree with what they're doing, trying to save the 1% of an old growth forest that we have left. Whether when it comes to left and right, I can understand where the right's coming from, where we need to generate some income now, because we're in a giant amount of trouble financially with the amount of money that Justin Trudeau has printed, borrowed, and spent. He's left us in a very, very tight spot. And for the next leader of our country, whenever that happens, if it happens, that leader is in for a heck of a trip to try to generate funds.
Absolutely. And, you know, I grew up in the oil industry in Alberta. I did 12 years in the oil and gas sector. I know what it's like to be in, you know, in the trenches. You know, the average Albertan, I think, works like 4 hours more than the average Canadian. So, like, there's definitely a lot there when it comes to industry. We're not against industry, okay? When we're speaking about these old growth forests, we're actually for industry. We have solutions we can bring to the table for more generations to come, and stealing our children's generational wealth and futures right underneath them. And we're talking, like, this gets so much deeper. Like, we're talking like biodiversity of plant medicines. There's animals in there that still haven't even been discovered and put on a list in these ancient forests. And, you know, and it gets so much deeper. You know, BC Forestry, the World Economic Forum's in on it. Like, it's just a rampant clear cut as fast as you can, line your pockets and steal all the money while we sink and nuclear bomb this country to the ground.
Yeah, very, very true. Just for the people that are listening right now, Colin is out in the middle of nowhere. So when this thing starts to lag, it's due to he's in a very secluded area of the forest in BC, and we're getting this podcast done. We've been wanting to do it for 6 months. Back to the forest thing. I used to live in the middle of nowhere in Enderby, and like, we had no neighbors, but you'd cross the mountain on a Ranger or an ATV, and you'd come across clear cut sections, and it's terrible. They literally go in there and they mow down mass amounts of space, and they leave the stumps there to rot. You'll see animals walking through there looking for their homes. It's a very disgusting way to generate an income.
Yeah, well, and it's you know, and the biggest problem I have is these scientists actually have solutions they're brought to the table. One of them is select logging, you know what I mean? It's just like not clear cutting. It's selectly, you select some of the trees, but not all of them. So, you know, like, so then you keep, like there's a third, a second, a first round forest, right? You know, there's those, because they keep them circulating into just, all it is just an industry of timber. And then they just basically, all they want is a certain type of tree growing. They're spraying, you know, glyphosate, Roundup onto the plants, so other plants aren't growing around them, especially like, you know, broadleaf, they call it, you know, which is poisoning the bear, which is poisoning the wolf, which is poisoning the eagle, which is killing the water, which is killing me and you and the children, you know. And it's an endless cycle of hate and tyranny and evil. And this is something I see being able to unite people, though. And like, I'm all about solutions. I'm not against my fellow man, you know. I'm against people, you know, maybe if they're trying to attack me personally, you know, I'll tell you to get bent, you know what I mean? I'm a 6'6" Indian half-breed, you know, like I ain't afraid of much, you know. I'll walk anywhere, anytime, and speak whatever I got to speak, you know. But I do it with respect for my fellow man, you know. And I'm not trying to chaos or havoc, you know, like some people do, you know. I'm trying to actually unite people.
Unfortunately, at some point, we are going to see chaos in North America, just with what's going on politically, the way people are being treated, and the way the especially our federal government is coming after the people so harshly. Today, well, it was yesterday, Justin Trudeau addressed our premier of Saskatchewan, Scott Moe. Scott Moe opted Saskatchewan out of paying carbon tax on home heating because Trudeau gave Atlantic Canada that option. So Scott Moe went to bat for the people and said, hey, we're not paying. So Justin Trudeau decided that he was going to renege on his carbon pricing incentives that he sends out every month, so the people of Saskatchewan will not be getting those in 2024, and also made an idle threat that he was going to arrest and jail our premier.
Meanwhile, there's literally Chinese documents coming out of treason on the highest level, and this man should be literally arrested in shackles for the rest of his life, and he has the nerve to tell somebody he's going to have them arrested. I know. I watched the interview with Scott Moe, and I watched, like, you know, and I wasn't a fan of him either. You know, like, he was pushing the fucking COVID jabs, you know, hard. And I was not a fan of him at all when I heard him on, you know, he did one of his videos saying everybody's going to get vaccinated, you know, in this province, you know. And then I think he got, you know, the fear of God scared into him when the convoy happened, because like the Saskatchewan people rose like the Phoenix, man. They came up and they were like heavy. I remember watching a video of just hundreds and hundreds of semi-trucks from Saskatchewan and farmers just like literally just coming to Parliament. And I was just like, I remember being in tears, like watching, you know, my brothers and sisters rising up in Saskatchewan, you know. And so it must have flipped a switch in him. I don't know. You tell me, what's your perspective on Scott Moe, right?
Initially, I didn't like Scott Moe too much. But if you look at the direction that he took our province during COVID and the way that we got out of the vaccines, we were the first province. We were the first province that decided that we weren't mandating this stuff anymore. We're the first province that went out and said, hey, this carbon tax thing is absolutely insane. Which, if when it goes up on April 1st, it's going to cripple farmers. You're going to see in Canada what's happening in France. John Deere tractors will descend on the capital of our country, and it'll be a tractor convoy this time. But you got to remember who you're dealing with. These aren't friendly truck drivers that are dropping off your loaves of bread. These are guys that are going there that are absolutely broke because they've been hammered with taxation for the last 3 years. A lot of these guys are losing their livelihood, their generational family farms. This is a big deal. So I highly advise the federal government of Canada to not put that in that 23% increase April 1st. It's not going to go well for our country.
Yeah, and I've watched the movement online spike up in just the last like couple of days, and the group like grew like 20,000 people overnight, and this is to protest the entire country come April 1st. And like these guys are serious about, really taking a stand against the government in whichever way they seem fit. But those, no, I don't know if I spoke about this on your show, but I did live in Europe. Okay. I was actually deported from Norway in 2009. It's a crazy ass story we can get into probably another time, but I literally watched socialism take over the Scandinavian countries when I was there. And I watched how evil it was. This is in 2009. I was just young. I was in my early 20s, just being a wildcat traveling around, right? But the Norwegians had gone full socialist, and the Swedes, they let in like 1 million Afghanis from the Afghan War, and it just was a total shit show to watch. These Vikings, like I'm talking big men, like these men are big, like me in Norway, and but like literally be demasculated and not be men, and then have people from other countries flooding their countries and pushing them around in their own countries. Like in Sweden, there's no go zones, there's no walking zones. You can in Stockholm. And the police told me not to go there, and I just laughed and I said, "Does it look like this needs to have a problem walking anywhere? I got brown eyes and brown hair anyways. They don't know the difference. If I'm, I might be Muslim or whatever, right? I'm just a brown 6'6" part native guy, So, and like this is 2009 I was seeing this. This is a long time ago. We're 2024. And I was arguing with people online because they're like, "Oh yeah, Norwegians are the happiest people in the world, and in Sweden and all this bullshit." And I was like, "They get free school. Yeah, I know, but they pay 70% tax. So the Swedes are paying for this school. That's free apparently. And they got great systems. They are true socialist, and they are a lot, they are a little bit more off than where the direction we're going with socialism and this Marxism movement. They've actually, the Vikings were very fair with each other. Very interesting culture, very weird culture to me at the time. They don't talk to each other. They don't say hello. They're not friendly and warm like we are, especially like in Saskatchewan. You go to a small town, people come up and want to know who your father is or whatever. Where you been? I don't know who you are. They will not ever even say a word to you. It's really weird,
Different cultures, right? We've been influx with Ukrainians, and they have a different culture too. So it takes some getting used to that kind of stuff. But to circle back to Scott Moe, so Scott Moe went to bat for us. So I decided today that I was going to go to bat for him. So I called the Ottawa police, and I said I'd like to press charges on Justin Trudeau for crimes against the country, theft, and treason.
Yeah.
I listed off the reasons why, and the RCMP said to me, "Well, there's nothing we can do about that." So I said, "Okay, well, then what good are you? What are you doing right now for our country? Like, your job is to serve and protect. There's a massive glaring defect that we have in this can in Canada, and it's all fingers point to the leader. So what are you guys good for?" And they didn't have an answer for me. So I said, "Okay, the next time an RCMP officer tries to pull me over and give me a speeding tax, I'm not stopping." You don't want to go to work for me, I ain't paying you.
Yeah, and that's the way everybody needs to function for it, order for it to be positive change in that area, or we're just going to become another police state like you've seen down in the United States, and they're just coming in like a bunch of thugs, you know, kicking in your door and making arrests, you know, like we watched over COVID, you know, with Arthur Pulowski, that preacher from Calgary, getting arrested for having his church open, just insane. So we have to really put our police forces in check when it comes to this, and we need to hold our ground with them, you know. But they do swear allegiance to the crown, you know, and like people forget, like this is all by design, you know. This is the military, you know. Even when I was in the oil and gas industry 12 years, you know, like it's chain of command, you know. The derrick hand looks up to the driller, you know. The motor hand looks up to the derrick hand, you know. And it's just like it's a chain of command mentality where they're just worker ants taking orders, right, and just fucking being told what to do. And it's the guys like me and you who stand up and say, no, we're done. We're done playing this game. We're done with your bullshit. We're just done. And we're exiting the system and we're going our own way. We don't need you. You need us, actually. It's quite the opposite.
Well, realistically, you know, how we fix the situation in the short term is right now, Saskatchewan's under attack by the federal government. Everybody get off your hands. Go into your job and you tell them not to take federal tax off of your paycheck anymore. That cripples the federal government.
You know, Daniel Smith has been looking into this on getting rid of the Canadian pension plan and making it an Alberta pension plan for Albertans, because they see how they're squandering our pensions away, and there is no pension. There will be no pensions for me, for you, for anyone who's paid into these pensions our whole lives, you know. And she's talking about taking away money from Ottawa, and that's surely what needs to happen here. We need to just cut off any money going to Ottawa, period, and just put a dead stop to them. And like, money's power, right? And
You look at what they put up this year for what I call taxes, because they're actually classified under our taxes. Our Canadian pension plan went up, and our unemployment insurance premiums went up. So realistically, what are they doing with our money? Because when you're done working, and let's say you've never claimed EI ever in your life, you don't get that money back. If you die before you claim your CPP and you have a significant other, you get like $2,500 sent to your husband or wife. They don't get your Canadian pension plan. They give you a settlement of $2,500. That's absolutely asinine.
Wow. And then, you know, God, I watched, you know, I was working on the Trans Mountain Pipeline out in British Columbia. And you can actually tell your difference between when you pay taxes in Alberta and when you take taxes in BC. Because I just came back from Fort McMurray. I was working up in Fort Mac there building ice roads. And you can tell the difference in taxes. BC taxes more. And, you know, like, let's say I made $12,000. In British Columbia, 51% tax. You make $12,000, you bust your ass, you're tired, you're working 12-hour days, 14-hour, I was actually working 14s, you know, and you got no life, you got nothing to live for, and then the government takes over half your paycheck, and you're just like...
That's insanity.
And you know, and I finally can get my treaty card, you know, which can help if I'm working on native land on any oil field project, you know. Finally, in my, you know, I'm almost 40, 39 years old, you know, I can finally get my treaty card, which was my, got the paperwork from my native band on, you know, my genealogy, where I come from. My great grandfather was the chief. You know, and I can finally claim that. at almost the age of 40.
They made it very hard. Back in the 70s, I know here in Saskatchewan, the Métis were handing out treaty cards like they were sticks of bubble gum. There was people out there that were full-blooded white European Canadians that had Métis cards. They had no business having one. And then the government subsequently scrapped that and made it very, very hard. Like, you have to prove a whole lot of stuff before you can get a card.
Yeah, well, and now they're trying to go the opposite way right now. And yeah, they're making it actually impossible for real Métis now to actually get their Métis status. So I'm a status Métis. I come from the I have status in the district down in Lethbridge.
Okay.
So Lethbridge, Alberta is the district band office or whatever you want to call it, association, whatever. They don't have bands in the Métis. It's a different type of political system altogether, but nonetheless, the corruption is there so badly within the Métis community. Even if I have a Métis card, it doesn't give me shit. The Métis were supposed to get 40,000 acres of land, and they actually gave it to Ukrainians, and this was like way back in the day. They went to war with the Canadian government. I got the flags always on my doors. That's the oldest flag in Canadian history. When you see the circles there, right, it means to mix. So that's the infinity. And there was actually a red flag originally, and I have the original red flag, and it's right here, and it was only for a few months. Pretty cool. This is the oldest flag in Canadian history, and this is when the Métis went to war with the Canadian government, and they stopped them dead in their tracks. 300 warriors against 8,700 Canadian military, British at the time, and stopped them in their tracks with the rebellion and the Red River settlement. All those Louis Riel, which is a relative of mine, and there's just a ton of history and a ton of things that are duly owed to the Métis people that we'll just never get.
There's a lot of things. The status stuff drives me nuts because visually, I would say, hey man, like, yeah, you're native. I just take one look at you, like, well, maybe not full blood native, but yeah, you definitely there's some native in there. But then I see some redheaded super white people that you can't tell.
Yeah, well, the Métis families are known for that. Like my like, so I got full blood family and Métis family. There's a difference in both.
Oh yeah.
So like on my Métis, but like with my Métis family, which is the same, I have redhead like albino white cousins, and then I have cousins who look like they're completely off the res, and then you got ones like me who are just like a mulatta in the middle, and we're just like. We get kind of the best of the both worlds, but it's just a typical Métis family,
You're Canadian, man.
Yeah, that's right. And to me, I've never had any kind of special status or anything. So like, I don't know what it is to have special rights, hunting rights, even like they had hunting rights for Métis. I think I might have taken down one deer maybe on my Métis card when we had it in Alberta, but they quickly reprimanded it and pulled it out of they weren't allowed to harvest anymore freely Métis. It was very for a very short time. I think it was Stelmach or the Premier, one of them, or no, maybe it was Ralph Klein that put it in, but somebody had a Métis wife. One of the premiers had a Métis wife, and he allowed Métis to finally hunt and harvest, which is one of our traditional values. You're Métis, right? And so but they ripped it out of our palms. But that was because too many people were taking advantage of it. It's corruption.
To harvest food is everybody's right. Whether you're white, black, purple, blue, brown, orange, doesn't matter. Your right to provide for yourself and your family. Whether you get that from the grocery store or you get that from the field, that's a human right. Realistically, with all of the hunting laws that we have in Canada now, where you can't hunt here, but you can hunt here, but you got to call that guy for permission to go retrieve it just in case you piss him off. But the CO doesn't really want you on that piece of property over there, so you better call and get permission to do that. And then maybe we're not going to draw you for the next 10 years for what you want to go out and get. It's absolutely ridiculous, and it's a giant money grab. You got to pay to enter the draw. You don't get drawn, you don't get your money back. And then when you go to get your tag, it's $70 for the damn tag that used to be $25 two years ago. So where's the money going?
Yeah, well, in some areas they give out tags like they're going out of style, you know, and like this goes back to this old growth forest. They're literally trying to weed out certain species in certain areas because it's not helping the government move forward in any financial way. So like they were dropping, it's called strychnine on the forest. And this literally puts the wolf, timber wolves, you know, big timber wolves into a paralysis state, breaks their back. And, you know, and they knew this and they were just dropping this and they just wanted to eradicate the wolf, you know, and they called it like this is vermin. And that's the one thing I noticed when I live in Scandinavia, was Scandinavia is very similar to Canada in like geographical, like forests and everything. But it's one thing I remembered from 2009 when I was out there. There's no animals, you know. I walked across Norway. I was one of the first Canadians to walk across Norway, 660 kilometers on foot, Oslo to Trondheim. I was the first Canadian to walk across the country. I have it documented a little bit. And yeah, didn't see him. I seen one moose in a
Wow.
country, you know, with mountainous regions like Canada. I seen one moose,
Well, that's wild because
you know.
I have trouble not hitting deer on the road on my way to work.
Oh yeah, well, same in southern Alberta. Like they have in British Columbia, if somebody's blinking their lights at you, especially where our the region that I've traveled. In the Kootenay areas and southern British Columbia, they flash you. In Alberta, when they do that means the cop's down the road, but he's giving you just a heads up, you know. But they flash you to warn you that there's elk or there's deer or there's some kind of wildlife on the road, so you don't hit them with your car, right? In Alberta, you know, it's funny because like I told this girl that I know, she's a scientist here. I said, well, we just keep going straight. You know, because there's so many of them, especially where they're growing, you know, a large amount of food production. So they come in, they're just everywhere. Mule deer, where I grew up, everywhere in southern Alberta, you know, especially in that high agricultural area. And yeah, they're just everywhere, you know. And my dad taught me, you know, if you come across one, don't swerve, you'll kill yourself, you know. Slow down if you can, but keep going straight.
Yeah, you don't want to start trying to dodge them because where there's one, there's 10.
Yeah.
One in the middle of the road, you can guarantee that there's one in the ditch. So just keep going straight. If it gets out of your way, it gets you out of your way. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But this old growth forest that you're talking about, this can all circle back to what happened 4 years ago now with COVID. We started messing with stuff. We're going to mess with the forest now. Now we're going to screw that up. And then we are going to really have a climate crisis.
Well, they are creating a climate crisis. That's exactly what they're doing, is they're clear cutting the forest so quickly that it is creating a climate crisis. Certain trees are thriving, you know, also after they get burnt, different trees react to these forest fires that we're seeing come through rapidly every summer. So there's definitely different populations growing. We're seeing areas come turn in from, they call it temperate rainforest, which is very rare to have in Canada, to desert. And, you know, and we're watching this happen right before our eyes. And then they're pushing this green agenda, like, you know, like the world is just, you know, changing out of nowhere, when it's actually driven by the same corruption and the same human beings, you know, in the name of whatever, humanity. But it's all bullshit, and they're just lining their pockets. They're pushing this World Economic Forum agenda, the WHO agenda, you know, the United Nations agenda, the global agenda, and it's all in the name of, you know, whatever. They're trying to turn us all on each other, and this is why I've really spearheaded this conversation, because I actually see it bringing people together. This is something we can all agree on, is, you know, your children deserve a forest. Forest is healing, for one. You know, you go sit on the side of a river, you know, comparison to sitting in the city somewhere in a cement block house, you're going to start thinking differently. You're going to feel differently. There's ancient medicines in there that we can cure ailments with naturally, freely given to us by Mother Nature. We don't need, you know, we don't need the government to wrap us pill bottles and these little pills and sell us anything. We freely have our own plant medicines that we can forage and we can pick. You know, in BC Forestry, it's funny because they call these forests old forest. So that's all they label it as, is just old forest. So they make it dumb it down that it's just useless trash forest. Like, we're talking 2,000-year-old cedar trees, so thick you can't even reach your arms around, you know, these forests. And they're so special. I've had the chance to be in them, and it's like being in, like, I don't know, Narnia or something, you know, like something mystic, you know, like Lord of the Rings, right? Like, it's just mystical.
Well, before we switch topics, I'll leave everybody with something. Justin Trudeau recently did a talk that last summer was the worst that we've ever seen for fires in Canada. We have a climate crisis. We don't have a climate crisis when it comes to fires. We have a people problem. We have a government agenda hiring people to go light fires. We literally had some guy in BC arrested for lighting like 24 multiple fires. These fires that he lit literally caused the haze of smoke that was flooding our whole country. We don't have a climate crisis, yet we have a people problem. We need to deal with the people that are in charge of our country. Go ahead, because I was going to switch the topic, but go ahead. I'll let you finish.
I would just very much encourage everyone to put their eyes on British Columbia. We have a saying in our Native culture, when somebody's doing bad, we're all watching you, you know, and we have to really shift. A lot of the problems we're seeing in Canada are starting in British Columbia. They're giving legal drugs, you know, now cocaine, heroin, methamphetamines. Legally, you can just go and buy these drugs now in British Columbia. Like, they want to murder your kids. They're trying to pass laws so young kids can get safe supply, which there's no such thing as safe supply of drugs. This is poison. It kills you. You know, like, there's just so many issues that's coming straight from British Columbia. There's fentanyl coming right off the boat from China, walking right into our country. Someone's getting paid off. You don't see any big bus, but what you do see is people hooked on it everywhere. You know, in all the major cities, people are walking around like lost zombies. And if we really put our eyes on British Columbia and we focus on British Columbia and what's going on in this province, we can definitely make a ripple effect that will ripple throughout the province, because it's like, this is kind of the point of entry for a lot of Canadian problems. And then they try to spread their rhetoric, you know, through Alberta and point their fingers at Danielle Smith and then Saskatchewan and so on and so on, right? You know, and if we were to really push back in British Columbia, and with this old growth issue, I see a unification coming here. This is something we can all agree on. I think we could really make a difference in this province, and like, we got to get rid of it. We got to do something, you know, and people are at their wit's end, you know, they're ready to rebel hard.
I agree. I want to get your thoughts on the freedom movement, because we've seen a hard shift in that movement to a lot of infighting, a lot of name calling, a lot of side picking. A lot of guys have just given up and they don't want to deal with what happened. But we had something great that spearheaded a worldwide movement in the trucker convoy. And a lot of the main people that were involved, and they were like, you look at guys like Chris Skye, he's a government operative. He's paid opposition. That's all that is. You look at, there's some other people out there that are paid opposition. I won't drop their names. Chris Skye can get mad at me all he wants. He's 5'3". I don't care. But realistically, there were some really great people out there. Rob Primo was one of those guys that was out there beating the drum forever. And now he just seems like he wants to ride a Harley and hang out with his kids. And you know what? That's cool, man. But at some point, we're going to need you.
Well, in... You know, like, even myself, I had to take a break. Like, this is, it's so much fucking drama, you know, and people are attacking you and this and that. And, like, you know, I've been called a police officer, a UN operative, a federal agent. Like, bro, if you knew how I grew up in Southern Alberta as a half-breed Indian in a small town of Tabor, like, you would never be saying this shit about me, you know? Like, we had a police force there that was really rough on us growing up when we were young. You know, there was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of distrust there within the police force, you know, in my community, you know, and then there's an oil field town, farmer community. Like, you were scrapping on a Friday night, every weekend outside the bar. And that's how we grew up, you know, and, just a different mentality, probably something you see in Saskatchewan, you know, as well, you know, and like we, you know, and yeah, like to have your name slandered and you calling a cop, you know, and all this stuff, you know, and a lot of people are caught in their egos. There are operatives out there, I'm sure of it, you know, like I've had my name dragged through the fucking mud, man. Every fucking thing you can think of. But, you know, the funny thing is they never come up with fucking proof. You know what I mean? It's like, well, okay, well, you're saying this about me. Well, where the fuck's your proof? Oh, you don't have any. Well, then go fuck yourself, because in a world of truth, you got to have a little bit of proof on somebody, especially if you're making accusations that are going to destroy their character. Yeah. Right. You know, and this is important, you know, and whatever. Like, you know, I had a guy call me out recently. He wants to fight me. He wanted to fight me. And I just laughed. I was like, whatever, man, I'll scrap this guy, no problem, you know. I'm just at that point where it's just like, whatever, like, I just want to push forward with people who I'm aligned with and who want to walk this road with me and aren't going to back off the front line when we go there together, you know. And those are just the people I want to align myself with, you know, not fucking keyboard warriors, guys who just run their mouth on the internet. I walk anywhere, anytime in this country, anytime I want. And that's a true fact that anyone can watch from my, you know, social media. And I am not scared whatsoever to be in any part of this country, you know. And many people, you know, they'll try to run your name down. You don't see them ever, you know. And that's just how it is.
Well, there's few people out there that have been solid from day one. Yourself, you're one of them. Chris Barber, I'll shout him out because I like that guy. He's done great work. Mr. Freedom, Freedom George, even though I don't see too much from Freedom George anymore. I'm so banned on a bunch of stuff that I can't see anything anymore. But these are the guys that have been pounding the drum and they never gave up.
Yeah, and I can vouch for every one of those names that you've brought up, you know, and all those men are men of high integrity, you know, and I have a good relationship with all of those men. You know, I've had those men go to bat for me, even, you know, and all those names you brought up deserve a shout out, and they've been on the stomping pad hard, you know, and there's a lot more voices out there, you know, tons. You know, some of the work that some of our women nurses have done in this country, astronomical. You know, there's a girl, let me give her a shout out, from the Cooney's, her name is Soji One, like calling out her opposition, setting up like arena, like let's debate. Like before we even like hit the political spectrum and people get out and vote, and she's like calling out this guy publicly, you know what I mean? She's a woman and she's creating a lot of traction. I don't know her really on a personal level, but I know she's been fighting hard for the children and she got my support. And you know, she's a local woman trying to make some changes in the local community, and I love how she's just being a pit bull, you know, and she's coming out with hard facts. She's not messing around. And I love that about her, you know, and that's those are the people we need. Like you need the people who are gonna walk anywhere, anytime in the dark crevices. Then we gotta say, hey, no, this stops here, you know.
It's exactly what needs to happen. People need to get involved in their communities. They need to take over their school boards. They need to take over their town councils. They need to take over provincial councils. They need to run for premiers. They need to run for federal positions. Blue collar, hardworking people that know what the heck's going on need to get off their hands and start getting their hands dirty. Because at some point, this is going to go too far. And when it's gone too far, it's gone, it's done. We're so close to that point right now. Like financially, our country is in ruins. Like
Yeah, and the only reason you're seeing a little bit of spark of any kind of influx is because they're creating this mass immigration problem, and they're bringing money with them, and they're spending a little bit of money in our economy, you know. But it's created a housing crisis. I've noticed a rise in white supremacy, which I've yet to see in this movement, you know, and I'm seeing it, you know, and that's a scary thing. Because anyone from a third world country just wants to go for a better life. You know, I've been to India, I've been to around the world, I've been in over 35 countries. You know, like I've seen these people, and they're just human beings wanting a better life, just like me, just like you. That's it. They're not to blame. It's the government playing, you know, they're playing them like a pawn, you know, and they're using them to push their agenda and create more divide, more hate. Please plead with you, do not play into this bullshit. Do not become a white supremacist. Do not become racist in any way, shape, or keep center with your mind control, you know, your mental health, your physical health, your financial health, all those things, and align with people who are willing to work with you for the greater good of this country, and we will see results.
So I'll give you my conspiracy theory on what this mass immigration actually is, what I think it actually is. I think it's sleeper cells. I think we have the WEF and the World Economic Forum along with other countries are planting sleeper cells in our communities.
Yeah, you know, I can't say you're right, or I can't say you're wrong on it. And you know, there's definitely, I know there's foreign wars being fought on our land, you know, and there's a rise in people bringing their tribal wars from different countries, you know, to our streets. We're seeing it in Calgary, we're seeing it in Toronto, Edmonton, all the bigger cities, you know, and there's definitely cultures that don't align with Canadian culture. You know, they come with different agendas, and it's getting fuck crazy. you know, and we just gotta like, we gotta get rid of the, you know, the head of the snake. We gotta take on the federal government, and or we gotta go our own fucking way. And you know, I commemorate you for the work you've been doing to the doctors lately, you know, and giving them all this amazing voice. I won't even be able to share this podcast tonight because they got me on so many restrictions. I made a video the other day calling out BC forestry that went semi-viral and then immediately went on restrictions. Can't even share content.
I got kicked off of Twitter the other day for 6 days. That was fun. But it, social media is so redundant. At the same time, it's the best way for this kind of a platform to get out there. Like that's all fine and dandy to be on Rumble and to be on Spotify and Apple Music and Podbean and all that stuff. But how do you spread the word when your name is not Joe Rogan or Tucker Carlson?
That's right. You know, you social media, the internet is our friend. You know, it's like anything else. Technology can be in our favor, or you can see with AI, you know, this artificial intelligence and the way it's going, it can be a danger to us. But it could also, like, it's ramping people's businesses through the roof. You know, people are learning better marketing because this system thinks better and faster than they do. It doesn't sleep. But, you know, once they start putting that into a robot that can outthink you on the battlefield, then, you know, we're in a scary situation. This is like Terminator, you know, for real, you know, and like, well, it's a scary time to be alive, you know, and it's a scary time for men. You know, they're attacking our men. And then, you know, I've watched some influencers go on these fucking ego trips, start hating on, you know, other men. We got to start propping our men up.
Yep.
We got to start building our men up. We got to start bringing back the divine warrior that's in all of us. And we got to walk this road as warriors together. You know, we can't be fighting over stupid shit. You know what I mean? Like, there has been a few men who I've gotten in arguments with, but you know, I've actually had a lot more men walk up to me and shake my hand and say, sorry, I'm wrong about you, than I have had, you know, keep on going.
Well, the other thing that people really need to do is start generating different lines of revenue.
Mm.
How do you plan on making money when you can't go to your 9-to-5 job anymore because they're taxing you so bad that you can't afford your home? How do you make money?
Well, and you've spearheaded this. You know, this is, I think this is your time to tell people, you know, maybe about your success. And I'm very intrigued on the amount of work that you've put in to your community from small south town Saskatchewan, just the amount of headway that you as one solo individual has been able to make change. You've been able to run for a city. Mayor or the councillor?
Yeah.
So you won an election as a councillor. Now you're looking into bigger politics, you know, and you're really an example of a success story that people need to hear about. And they need to know that there is a way forward. You know, you've generated income, you know, and whatever you want to talk about freely, you know, giver. But yeah, tell us about your success. I know you've done great.
So when COVID hit, obviously, for the people that listen to this show, I switched from talking about combat sports to talking about what was going on in the world. I decided that fighting wasn't such of a big deal anymore, as opposed to maybe putting the gears to the government as to what was happening. Subsequently from that, I nailed a podcast with Dr. Peter McCullough, which got me banned from podcasting for a year. I'm not allowed to disclose everything that happened to me because that will get me in a little bit more trouble, but it was very, very hard to function. So I had some people get me involved in a company. To me, the company was toxic, but it did teach me a valuable skill. And I'm not going to give anybody any financial advice live on a podcast or anything like that. But if anybody would like to learn for free, I will not charge anybody for anything. A different way to generate income, I will show you how to do it. It's not rocket science. I made something that works. So if anybody wants to know, they can contact me through Instagram or email or Facebook. Everybody knows where to find me. But it's successful. From that, what I was seeing going on in the world, I decided I wanted to get into politics in my village. So I ran for a councillor position. I won that election, and then we're off to the races. So with that, what I wanted to be
Ex-professional fighter.
a ex-fighter, working a 9-to-5 job. I'm married with a wife and two kids. So my goal was to be able to have some added protection for my children's future, whether it be in a village of 187 people or a city of 1 million people. I didn't really care what it was. So now I'm in that position where I can add some added protection and open up some different avenues of living for people that live in my community. From that, I've been contacted by some other sectors of government to run for some positions. And I will do that in 2025. So I will run for a provincial position in 2025. We'll see where that goes, whether people want to get behind me or not. I know what my area needs, and we need farming. This is our major source of income, farmers. And it's literally the major source of what everybody eats in Canada. So
Well, dry land farming is huge. I don't know if you guys have the big irrigation sector where you live. I don't think so. But where I grew up in southern Alberta is a major irrigational sector down in southern Alberta, you know, and we literally could just jump out of our house and say, hey, you know, look at the time. It's July. It's halfway through the month. Let's go pick some potatoes down the road. You know, and the farmer ain't gonna give a shit. You know, he's telling you to go pick some for you and your family. Take a couple buckets home. You know, and like we grew up in like crazy abundance. You know, plus oil patch. You know, plus all these other sectors. You know, in Alberta. Alberta is a very successful province. So I get it, and I get how important farmers are.
So in our area, our major commodities are going to be canola, durum, flaxseed, stuff like that. We don't, well, due to chemtrails probably, but we haven't been getting a lot of rain in our area, so we've gone through like a 4 or 5 year drought. So it's been very, very hard for farmers to make ends meet. Crop insurance doesn't pay what they normally would make. So when you got guys that are out there and they've run 5 years on nothing, and then you want to tax them more, it doesn't work, right? So we need to open up some avenues for the farmers to be able to get funding to keep going so that we can keep eating. Because if we don't have food, guess what? We're not producing wheat. Guess what? You don't have beer. You don't have bread. You know, there's so many things that we're not going to be able to have anymore. Like we're going to have to forage from the land. There's not a whole heck of a lot of people that know how to do that anymore. So
Well, and yeah, keep going.
we need the guys with the John Deere tractors out there whacking down wheat. We need the ranchers out there that are raising up beef so that we can eat it. We need the chicken farmers out there collecting chicken eggs. We need the pig farmers making little piglets so that we can grow them into hogs and butcher them. That's what we need.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I call it the 5 G's when I tell people, and when people say, "Big Bear, what can I do for my family immediately right now?" And I say, "Well, I just look at the 5 G's, gold being number one, so gold and silver, getting your finances behind something insurable, ground, right, which is land, grub, which is food, gasoline, which is going to help transport you around, you know, the land and the food, and then guns to hold your, you know, to protect yourself if a time of war comes upon us. And that that's a very real factor. It's a very real threat from foreign entities invading Canada and taking our sovereignty. And our government has just let this country fall to rubble because this is the part of their plan as well. Yeah. You know, and we're going to lose everything. Even these, you know, washed out politicians are going to lose, and they don't even know it. You know what I mean? Like, that's how washed out they are, you know? And, you know, they're getting fat paychecks too, you know? An MP position, which I've been offered. I was offered, you know, I had some high ups message me when I was from Ottawa, when I came back, and there were some people who showed up out west here, and they took a large interest in my voice, and they took a large interest in getting behind me on a political spectrum. And I kind of backed away because I wasn't sure I wanted to go down that road, you know. And if I was to go down it again with the proper backing, I most likely will do it, you know, because we need leaders to step in these roles, and no one's coming to save us. We don't get a free pass. We don't get a free ride. We don't get a free ticket against this evil. It's like we either fight it or we don't. And that's the shittiest thing I can tell you tonight, you know, but it's the reality that we get up and we fight, or we sit on our asses and we crumble.
Yeah. Back to the financial area. If anybody does want to learn, you can hit me up. I will give away what I made for free, but what I will not do is when somebody messaged me and say, "Hey, I've got $3,000. Can you turn it into 30 for me?" Yes, but no, because if I give you a pair of pants, as opposed to you going out and buying a pair of pants and putting in work to earn those pants, there's a giant difference. Big difference. You actually worked for it. Like, for this to work, you guys are going to have to go out and you're going to have to read books. You're going to have to listen to podcasts. You're going to have to watch things. It's not an overnight get rich quick scheme. I was successful with it because I made it. And I trust it, and that's what happened. But you're going to have to play with it. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to demo it. You're going to have to not put real money in. You're going to have to goof around for a couple months and see what works and what doesn't work for you. But I will give it to you for free, but I will not make it for you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I, you know, I agree with everything you're saying. You know, you got to work for what you sow on this earth, you know, and I've learned that throughout my entire life, you know, and when you don't work, you don't progress. And when you work, well, you progress, you know, and I've had to take a little bit of hit on the brakes lately, and, you know, and I've stumbled and I've had my fair share of shitty days, but now my days are starting to turn pretty amazing. You know, I'm interested. I'm so intrigued on your success. I want to know all the knowledge that you're, you know, going to help out with. And I want to learn this so I can create generational wealth. You know, I can go sit in Mexico and, you know, still fight a battle and still get some sun, you know, a little bit in the winter time, you know, like it can be a dark winter sometimes.
I know that we've talked about sitting down and going through it. But I know you went through a tough time, and to do this, you have to be in a right mental state. You can't be, you can't be sitting there, your head somewhere else and not in the game. Like, you gotta be in it. If you're not in it, then you're out. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Again, I don't want to disclose any financial information on a podcast or anything like that. I'll do it on a Zoom call with somebody, but not for everybody to see, especially the government. Fuck.
Yeah, they're trying to pass that fucking hate law, you know, that just they can basically fucking roast anybody under the bus, you know, if they think that you're spewing some kind of hate with a lifetime of prison. And it's just all it is to fucking target people like me and you who tell, you know, the Justin Trudeau regime to fuck off, or, you know, and they just hate us. You know what I mean? It's like these people that, you know, they're standing against, you know, our agenda, you know, and it's like they just wanted to, they want some reason to put us away.
Well, you look at what Justin Trudeau said yesterday to Scott Moe. He said that you can't leave the Federation. You can't quit Canada. Well, actually, you can. If we don't agree with what you're doing, like, at the end of the day, who pays your bills? The taxpayer. So realistically, who's your boss? The taxpayer is your boss. We've just given you the right to make some laws. But where we sit now, you've had the biggest petition in Canadian history signed against you, that people want you to step down. We want an election now. Not tomorrow, not 3 weeks from now. We want it now. And it's not going to happen. We're going to have to ride this out until 2025.
Well, it's crazy that Justin Trudeau can threaten Scott Moe with prison or getting arrested, but Pierre Poilievre can't call out Justin Trudeau for crimes against humanity on the highest level, you know?
Here's my major problem that what happened. Pierre Poilievre went on live TV. He listed every single infraction that Justin Trudeau has done against our country, every piece of thievery that he's done to the taxpayers. He laid it all out. What happened? Nothing. Nobody showed up to get him. Nobody showed up to arrest him. Nobody showed up to take him to court. Nobody showed up to hold him accountable for his crimes against this country. So who has to show up and hold him accountable? Unfortunately, we do.
Yeah, and I made a TikTok not too long ago that went semi-viral, and I talked about the Criminal Code of Canada. And judges hate this, but you as a civilian, me as a civilian, actually hold up the same laws as a police officer. It's just they just hate if we bring something to them. Judges hate it. It's just messy. The paperwork's, you know, whatever. But we can actually make a citizen's arrest. And you can actually, if you catch somebody committing a crime, you can actually make a citizen's arrest. By the criminal code, this was a police officer who told me this, who sent me this information. I got online, I read this information. It is 100% true. You, as a civilian, if you see somebody committing a crime, and there's a group out of the east, Raven from Newfoundland. She's got the Million Charges movement going on, and they're gonna go into every police station across the nation, and they're gonna file criminal charges against government.
Good.
And that's their plan. And that's a good old girl from Newfoundland spearheading that one. Her name's Raven. I've talked to her multiple times, and she's just a really, you know, she took a party, man, to the premier of Newfoundland's house. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like she I was I you know, she messaged me when this was going down. I said, just don't say nothing, you know, just fucking don't give them nothing, you know. And she stood there. She stood her ground. She's a strong woman. So you know. And yeah, hold your power, you know. We have power, and we have to hold that power, and we have to stand in that power, and we're gonna get attacked, man. I know. I've been attacked on every level you can think of, and I know this is a one-way road, and it's to the end. And I'm lit up again, and I'm rejuvenized, and I'm ready for to go.
So you did a podcast, or I guess it was a Facebook Live earlier today with gentleman Ron Clark.
Yeah, that's right. I jumped from that podcast right to this podcast. I've probably been online for probably up to 3 hours the time this will be done tonight. And This was my reality at the Freedom Convoy. I was sometimes booking 3-4 podcasts a day. It completely just burnt me to the ground. I was going around to different rallies, speaking in different communities. I went all the way to the East Coast, all the way to the West Coast, speaking in different communities. I went all over Ontario with Mr. Freedom. It was such a good time, man. That guy is a solid motherfucker, and like he is just like, let's go. And he's had my back since the original convoy, and he's just a good fucking dude, man. And he don't give a shit, and that's what I love about him. Is he holds his ground. He taught me a lot about being in the spotlight, and people are gonna try to come down on you. And just, and he just said, you know what, Big Bear, just fucking keep doing what you're doing, man. And he's just a really good, just a good-hearted man, and he doesn't give a shit, and we need more of that.
I've had him on the show once before. I should really get him back on because he was fun to talk to. He's a hard guy to get a hold of, though.
Well, he's busy, man. The guy's making like some serious content. He's got roofing companies like sparking up all over the US. He's got contracts sparking up. Like the Americans love him. Like they've flown him down to Florida. Like he's being smart about his social media, and he's creating success for himself. And that's what you got to do. You got to create success in this story. Don't let your bank, please do not let your bank go dry. I've been guilty of that situation, very guilty. And you got to keep moving, man. You got to keep thinking outside the box. You got to keep listening to guys like this guy right here. If he's going to offer you information to create generational wealth, you best take him up on it. I'm going to take him up on it, and start learning, because we have no choice, and like I went back to the oil industry, and it's just as corrupted is the rest of them. And it's just, and this is where our masculine men apparently are. They're like, bunch of fucking, what do you want to call it, dwarfs in the mountain, mining for gold, hating the government, but still working around the clock just to put food on their table.
So my recommendation to you right off the hop would be get your website going again. Get that thing pumping because it was making money for you before, and if anything, you're bigger now than you were then. So that would be my first recommendation to you is get that website going. I will 100% show you what I know.
Awesome.
Don't think that I won't. I waited a little bit so that you're in the right headspace. You seem to be there now.
Yeah, I went through a really tough time, and like I will be the first one to admit that, I had some faults come around, and I just got really tired. That happens. That's called life. And I backed away. And I took some licks or whatever, but I surrounded myself with really good people, close friends who really care about my future. A lot of time by myself, a lot of time in nature, and just kind of went back into my own heart. And sometimes you gotta do that. Sometimes you gotta do that, and I learned a lot. Right now I'm just like juiced up, ready to go.
Well, you can't ride that hard for that long without the wheels falling off.
No. And I did. I pounded the pavement hard, and when you're going across this country and you're shaking hands in every community, and people want a picture, and people want 5 minutes of your time, and they want to, you know what I mean? Like they want to, sign a flag or something like this. Like we are made of energy. And like my energy was completely drained, and that's why I came back, and I just kind of reassessed some things, and I just said, you know what, I got to step back, right, and refocus what I'm doing here, because it's one thing to fight the revolution, it's another thing to fight the revolution and make money. And this is the biggest problem I'm seeing within this movement. And then you got people doing fundraisers, money's being whatever. Everyone always blames the money. You know, like somebody wants to give their fucking money to somebody, mind your own fucking business is all I got to say to that. You know, like I don't give a shit about who gave who to what and what to who. You know,
don't matter.
I've given, yeah, I don't give a shit. And I've given out thousands of dollars, you know, tens of thousands if, you know, we want to be accurate. You know, like I was, my business before Ottawa, I was up to $45,000 in sales with my own personal brand. This was my own personal hard-earned money, my own brand that I built. I was learning how to, you know, market online, Facebook, Instagram, everywhere. You know, I was learning all the ins and outs of building a brand, and I was becoming very successful at it. And I turned my energy away from that brand, and it sunk because I turned my energy away. And you can't do that. You got to keep your energy going into your gas tank, you know?
Well, the wonderful part about that is you can always rebrand. You have the skill set to be able to do it. You're just going to have to rebrand.
Yeah, that's right. And like I, my shop's all there, but I just took it down because it wasn't holding its integrity. I have 1,100 clothing designs. I partnered up with a, you know, clothing company in Canada, North America, and Europe, to be my middleman, and so we could drop ship anywhere on demand. And I was not updating my website fast enough to the clothing that they were getting rid of online. So I just by nature, I just took it down until I was in the proper, you know, light and headspace to rebuild it, rebrand or whatever I got to do with it. But it's all there. It's a functioning business that I created, you know, and I had help along the way. Absolutely. But you know what? I also spent money along the way to build it, you know, so that help was, you know, paid for. But there was definitely people who did very much push me to a new level, and I definitely honor those people, you know, who were there.
So let's wrap this thing up. What's your parting words to the listeners today?
We got to keep going forward, you know. We got to keep going forward, and we got to act, you know. We got to act as one team working together for the greater good of this country, you know, and just put aside our differences. That's as simple as that, you know, and we got to work together, start thinking outside the box, start thinking those 5 G's, you know, start creating wealth for yourself, start getting to work. And like, we got to get to work, you know, and I'm just like biting to get to work right now. And I want to just create wealth and prosperity for myself, and you know, as my success grows, my table will grow longer. But you know, if I'm not healthy, you know, nothing around me is going to be healthy. So I got to be healthy, you know, and I got to be in the right mental health, financially, spiritually, all those things. So that's the best thing I can tell you tonight. I'm just being real.
Parting words for myself, we'll go to Ottawa. April 1st is rapidly approaching. There is only a couple weeks until the carbon tax is supposed to jump 23%, which will handicap our farmers and then our food. I highly recommend, before this escalates out of control, that you really rethink upping the carbon tax. I actually hope that you rethink the carbon tax in general. This will go bad. I can guarantee it. So please rethink that, and let's come to a resolution for this situation, because you guys have handicapped the people of Canada so bad financially that there's people starving, there's parents that are skipping meals so that their kids can eat, there's people losing their homes, there's homeless. You've influxed our country with foreigners that are getting a free ride while Canadians are hurting right now. So please rethink what you're doing before this goes too far. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the final shot.